Thank you for the answers provided. Still, I have questions not answered and a lot of gaps remaining. I'm not clear about the answers provided, but let me concentrate. There was a statement given to us that legislation, trainings, protocols, all these policies and documents exist in Ecuador in order to ensure and guarantee transparency of investigations on the exercise of unnecessary use of force during street protests, and particularly against children. So the answer was, we have everything in place, we always do investigations, etc. Why then? We still do not have information about these cases in 2017 and 2022 where excessive violence was done in street protests against children. And next question, I did not actually get answers to many of my questions, but I asked about the issue of sexual abuse by Catholic clergy in Ecuador. We know that there was a parliamentary commission established in 2017 to investigate such cases. And that commission actually called AMPETRA, received more than 7,000 complaints, including allegations of clerical pedophilia. That investigation revealed a systematic pattern of cover-up by the Catholic Church in Ecuador, which has avoided collaborating with judicial authorities and did not facilitate investigation and facilitated actually movement of priests accused of abuse to other parishes or countries. So my question is again, in the light of the Vatican first report on sexual abuse issued last year in October, acknowledging the sex abuse crisis, incredible damage to the church credibility, which is actually one of our points. Should the government of Ecuador start another investigation, for example, by establishing a truth commission on clerical abuse, sexual abuse against children? I could not, with regard to education, inclusive education, I was not, despite this long report that we had to listen to, I could not really understood what are the guarantees for inclusive education for children, how teachers are prepared, supported to have in their classes children with, for example, mental or intellectual psychosocial disabilities, how parents are supported or prepared, how children are prepared to study together with different children, how programs have been changed. So these are issues that we are usually interested in order to understand the real, genuine policy of the state towards inclusion in schools. Then regarding alternative care, actually in the report we have this amount of information, one paragraph. Here we heard a long report with many numbers, many figures, ratios. It's very, really hard to understand and to remember and to write down. I'm wondering why didn't you provide this information in advance to save time for going to details. So could you please again clarify what is the difference between specialized shelters for specialized protection? In the same vein, I heard different figures about children with disabilities. 12,000 children in special protection shelters, 33,000 in specialized rehabilitation care, 10,000 in some other, 18,000 receiving cash transfer, this is clear, and 50,000 students in education, in inclusive education. So how these actually figures or numbers correspond to each other, and why didn't we find them in the report? And actually, these and final question: care by agreement. Please just clarify by one sentence. What do you mean by care of alternative care by agreement? I don't understand this concept. Thank you.